Hello everyone, this is Justin.
And this is Sean.
It's the Dot Matrix at the dotmatrix.com or wherever you might be listening to us from. It's episode 48.
48, and it's only March. Happy March 29th.
And this is what, like the third time we've had to reschedule this one?
I think this is the longest interim between recording podcasts, I'm guessing. But that's okay. We digress. Okay.
Yes. And hey, I take full responsibility. Most of the delays were on my shoulders. Wow. I canceled a few times on you, so...
Quite all right, because we're always here, so...
Well, yeah, well, you know, I canceled on you for just, you know, lame, I'm busy reasons. And then we delayed it even further because you were out being a rock star and all.
True enough. Yeah, so sometimes you have to go do that.
Well, I'm amazed you had enough head diameter to walk through the front door when you came in.
Yeah, when you mix my rock star status with my track and field status, it's... Because I had a lovely conversation with Tara yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. And
shout out to Tara.
Shout out to Tara and the Langs. The whole family. And yeah, we just chatted for a bit during my lunch break, and she saw on Facebook, she says, congrats, sounds like you guys had a great time, and she was like, wow, 33 minutes, 8K, so that's clear. I'm just joking. No. But yeah, it was a good time. We had a great run on Sunday, which was just this past Sunday. We ran Harry's spring runoff in Vancouver, and yeah, it was a good time.
And I actually, like, the race is really good because one, the weather was great. Two, it's in Stanley Park out here in Vancouver. It's just a glorious run. I didn't like the uphill at the end, but I digress about that.
That was a bit of a surprise.
I know. I was running with our friend Simone, and we hit 7K, and I go, yeah! And suddenly, all it is uphill for the whole last K.
Pretty much.
He kept saying, this is just mean.
Well, there's that overpass, but then it's actually a gradual, incline?
Yeah, incline after that. And I was bitching to all the volunteers as we were running by.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, really? It's like, no, he probably did.
One guy thought it was funny, and another guy was sort of like, not amused at all.
Yeah, well... I'm sure some of them were still just waking up, you know, and it's cold for them too, because, you know, they're just standing there, right?
And... I gave one woman a high five.
Oh, nice.
I went
did
by.
You?
Well, Simone and I were like, give that woman a high five. I'm like, you go first. And so she went first. No, she's just, I don't know. She's just sort of lady. Young lady.
Yeah.
And she barely gives, like, I thought, like, she missed this high five.
Oh.
And so I just gave a good smack. And I'm like, Simone, what was that kind of five? Like, I thought, you know, I wasn't quite sure if it should touch those. So she only gave a finger.
Oh.
Because she was, I guess, germs or whatever.
A little apprehensive.
I was like, oh. Oh, that's funny. I gave the whole hit.
Why not? Well, that's what you do. Sometimes I give a little gesture, like, yeah. Thanks for the encouragement, you know.
It was a nice touch to have those drummers halfway through. I thought that was a nice thing.
That was cool. And, you know, because usually, like, drum circles kind of turn me off. But this was more just like a, it wasn't a drum circle. It was just
a rhythm.
Like
drum,
a rhythm, yeah. But one thing I did find a bit weird is because, you know, it's early. It's not crazy early. But, you know, there's signs saying event in progress. And,
sure.
And, you know, there... Like, I'm sure you may have found as well, but, like, us that were, like, really just, like, bat out of hell for a while, the people who are on the seawall already, like, older couples, people with their baby strollers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we came across this kind of young mother with her baby in the stroller. They were...
Don't tell me it was a double wide.
No. It was not a double wide, thank goodness, because I would have been pissed. Because... Even with a single, she was coming our direction, and she literally couldn't move because she was, like, trying to get this carriage around people, right?
Right.
And at the same, I was thinking, like, why are you here? Like, there's the bike ride level that's like this kind of like a step up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you go on there? There's like no one cycling. It's understood that all the racers on the walk part of the seawall. Sure. Like, why are you putting yourself through this, right? Right? I almost said something as I went by. I was like, what are you doing, you know? But other than that, it was pretty flawless.
Well, we know we never really came across that because we were in that big wave. So I guess we were, that wave just sort of cleared everyone off for us. Kind of
probably.
Thing. So we didn't quite see it. But I also appreciated the random facts of prostate cancer throughout.
I know.
It was kind of like depressing, but I guess, I mean, that's the whole point. It's about prostate cancer.
Well, it makes you run harder.
And I kept thinking, the first time I was a bit put off because I was hoping that sign was going to be like a route marker, how many kilometers you've done. But no.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm not even at a kilometer yet.
Well, I didn't even see a marker for the first 3 kilometers. Did you?
Sometimes when you just go that fast, it's just...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there was.
I didn't see kilometer one, but I saw a marker for kilometer two, and I distinctly remember turning to someone and going, what the fuck? It's only 2K?
Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, maybe they didn't do it for the first few because they don't want you thinking about kilometers yet. You know, they just want you to go, right?
Yeah, no.
But no. But yeah, it was a good time, and now the weather's shit, so...
I know. Well, you know, at my new job, an email was going around about sort of pick up soccer, you know, after work.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And a big email went out to like a whole bunch of staff. And I actually responded to the person saying, hey, you know, I'd be up for, you know, my curling's over now. So I thought maybe I'll try to, you know, do something else that's active. Right. As every after work, you know, why not? Just pick up game of soccer for an hour.
That's
whatever.
Fun. It's fun.
Yeah, and it just gets you out there. And,
oh, yeah.
But they chose Thursdays is the weekend. Oh. And on Thursdays, I see my dad every Thursday, yeah, right? Yeah. And so it's I'm like, well. So I said, you know, just keep me on the list. And today was supposed to be the first day. Mm-hmm. And I walked right by that field where everyone would have been playing. No one was playing because it was just pissing rain.
Yeah, you have to be in the mindset to be like, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to get wet and I'm gonna do this.
Well, it says rain or shine, and I'm like, you know, maybe not the first day. The first day you really should do it with shine just to get people into it.
Yes. But, well, it's not raining that hard, but it's enough with the wind that
it... Oh, well, on campus it was actually quite hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And UBC is a weird place because it's a bit right at the corner, right? So it's when it's raining, it's snowing there or whatever kind of thing, right? So mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was thinking about sort of other things to do with this, just to be active. Anyway. But I finished curling, which was, I think I've mentioned it a few times, maybe. And we won 6-4 to finish the season.
6-4.
Yeah.
That was 6-4?
6-4, yeah. And
cool.
So we officially finished 6th.
Hey, right on. Good for you.
Out of 8 teams, but...
But hey, you weren't dead last.
That's
know.
Right. We lost 2 games in our playoffs, and then we just finally won the last one.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was...
It's cool that you won the last one.
Yes, yeah. So now we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for next year. We're saying, I think most of our teams are going to stick together. We're going to try join a league that's, like, not the novice league, but just the recreational league, just to improve our skills a bit, so... But yeah, it's been it was a lot of fun. I had a great time at it.
And when does the season start?
Late September.
Okay, yeah. That kind of makes sense. Yeah. Wow, that sounds super fun. Like, you've got to show me curling one day.
Yeah, well, one day you can definitely come out and just throw through a few rocks. I know Lloyd does it. He apparently curls.
Oh yeah.
At a certain point, like he used to curl at the Marple Club. Like maybe one day we just get a bunch of us and. Just ran a sheet of ice for an hour or two or something.
That would
just
be awesome.
Hang out.
We got to get out and play some tennis.
Yes.
This year we're gonna do it.
Yes.
We're gonna do it. And I well, you know, we can sidebar this later, but
I'm sure all of our listeners are keen to know when we're gonna play tennis.
Yeah, just because there's some really great new refurbished courts around, and man, I just want to take advantage of that. When, you know, when it starts to get a little nicer, like maybe like sometime this coming month, like in April, I'm gonna be around through April and May and stuff. So let's do that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I've got 4 days off after Easter long weekend.
Oh, nice. Really?
But I'm deciding whether or not I'm gonna stay in town or not, or whether or not I have two options. I'm thinking of either going down. Well, I can't go and spend extended times. October, Vanessa and I are going to do China, so we've decided to do that in October. Yeah.
Okay.
But so that's the big trip, right? That's what we got to save money for, right? But yeah. I have this time off in April, but I can't go away as part of the Easter weekend because my dad's birthday is on Easter Monday.
Ah.
So I'm going to stick around, obviously, to celebrate his birthday. But then I have 4 days after.
Would you have Easter Monday off anyway? Like at
I would.
Work?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nice. So that's why it's like I get off Good Friday and I don't come back till a week after, right?
Right.
So I have like, you know, a little bit longer holidays and only taking 4 days off, really, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking of either going, because I don't want to go too far kind of thing. So I'm thinking of either training it down to Portland.
Nice.
And so it'd be a great thing to go see a new city that I haven't seen. Ever, but I know like at least one person there, so I could always, you know, see her and grab dinner or something like that, right? But otherwise it'd just be my own nomadic traveling self, which I've, you know, done many times before. It's not a big deal for me. But I don't know if I'm feeling like I want to go traveling on my own, you know?
Mm.
So the other option, I think maybe I'll go to drop by Calgary for a few days or something and see Shalsha, and mm-hmm. I know a few other people there, and I mean...
That'd be a hoot.
It'd be a hoot. I mean, Calgary's no Portland, but... You know, I'm just trying to decide whether or not I want to do something on my own and see a new place or kind of just hang out with someone and people that I know.
Yeah.
And just have a, you know, just see people and see a good friend and not necessarily like the most exciting city in the world, right? So
right.
I haven't quite figured it out yet. But because I just figure I do want to, if I stay in town, I don't think I'll be as rejuvenated mentally is my thinking. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm digressing on some of the boring stuff. Like, tell our listeners, about South by Southwest.
Okay. Let me take a drink here first.
I'll sing.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you going to do to buy the time? It was good. Austin is a great city. It's very progressive. It's organized. It's lovely people. You know, like every other city, it has its kind of messy parts. But aside from that, it was a great trip. Flew down, the band flew down. We were there for a week. We spent like 3 days before we even performed. We were checking all the record stores, eating all the food. We were in a house that we're renting, as I mentioned. So we had a great kitchen at our disposal. So we had these big breakfasts most mornings and. You know, even there was a couple of nights that we were actually around at dinner time, so we make, you know, big spaghetti feast with like all this kind of stuff, you know. So we'd go shopping, actually go groceries. It was kind of domestic somehow, but that was, you know, the non-performing side. We were just like checking out the city and
go to Trader Joe's or something.
No, I didn't. No, but we there was so many shows going on every day that we were, you know, anytime we weren't like. Doing like stuff like getting, you know, fruits and vegetables and stuff and just feeding ourselves, we were going around and going to all these bars that they would, you know, they would have shows starting at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
right?
And so we'd just see all these bands. Most of them I had no idea who they were, but some of the guys in our band like know of a lot of the bands that were going to be there, so they would be like, oh hey, well I think you should check this out or this out, you know. So I was sure. Kind of like in a way, just kind of tagging along a lot of the time because they had an idea of places they wanted to go. And our bass player, Clint, had actually been there last year and with his other band. And so he kind of knew the area, which was nice. So, yeah, it was good fun. We saw a lot of bands we'd never seen before, and some were pretty good. There's a lot of bands, though, and there's, you know, there's some bands where you're like, oh, well, you know, you just know your own band is just so much better. Like, it's just so weird to say, but there's so many half-assed bands there, like acts, you know?
Right,
like,
okay.
Groups that are, it's just kind of novelty kind of silliness, you know? It's like they're doing it for a lark or something, you know? But there were some really interesting bands. There was this one band called the Puffy Areolas. Yeah. Yeah. We'll post a link because they were really cool because they had these two dudes on drum kits facing each other.
Of course, Puffy Areolas is two dudes.
We had two drummers, you had two guitar players, a singer guitarist, and a bass player, and this topless saxophone guy.
Oh. With this, I was like, topless, crazy, okay, it all makes sense. Oh, sorry.
Crazy hair. He was just like, no shirt, and he was just like blaring through this saxophone. It had no mic on it. You could barely hear him. But it was kind of like Bitches Brew meets TV on the Radio meets like punk meets like, you know, like kind of like MC5, like all these mixture of like just loud music I saw in this record store. A lot of record stores had shows, and so yeah, overall it was a great time. And then the city life, like the nightlife, was amazing. There's people around all over the streets, and like where every single bar and restaurant or whatever in a row, like along these long blocks, long strips, had a band playing at all times. So there's always tons of stuff to see. I tried to see The Roots. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, well, because I was like, well, I want to see something I know, right? And this girl we were staying with, she was saying, oh, yeah, The Roots are playing, and I'm going. And I'm like, wow, she's leaving quite early for it. And I went, but I got there too late because I spent the whole time waiting in line, and I was probably about 20 minutes from getting in when it started. And they were at capacity. It was a free show.
Okay.
So, in other words, it was just this kind of open-air show, but there was stands. So it was kind of like it was in a venue, but there was no ceiling. It was just like this kind of courtyard kind of thing.
Sure, okay.
And it was really great. So I could hear it. So we were just like dancing to it outside in the heat. And it was great. And I took a picture of Questlove because they had to come in through the front. So got to see some of the band members. And that was a lot of fun. And we saw Bill Murray too, which I don't know if you heard me mentioning or if you saw me posting about that, but yeah, Bill Murray was at one of the venues because he just shows up to these things, right? You've right. probably heard about that. Like he shows up here and there at parties and stuff. Last year he was tending bar at South by Southwest, and this year on our last night there we were seeing some bands, and it was kind of these different stages and shops and places you can, you know, you saw the picture of me with the tassel jacket.
Yes.
Yeah. So is that nice?
Yes,
right?
I did.
I wanted that jacket so bad.
To each their own.
Well, our friend says, oh, Bill Murray's in this shop over there, you know, and he's just like, just hanging out. And we're like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then our friend with us went to find him and took a picture with him.
Oh.
And then he went on this stage and he introduced a band that came out. And so I saw him. But I was trying to take pictures, a picture of me trying to take his picture, but it was just, there was just so many people and so much stuff that I barely caught his head. But so that was pretty cool, you know, and he was just kind of just hanging out. He's just being a guy, you know, just hanging with people, not being a star, you know?
Right.
And then that's it. You know, we flew home when we did our two shows, and, one was in a bar and one was in the open air, and those went pretty good, but they were pretty early in the day, so the one inside had a lot of people, but the one outside the next day didn't have a lot of people right. there. But
what early? What do you mean by early?
One was at 3 p.m., one was at 1 p.m.
Oh,
like
okay,
early. Yeah. Unfortunately, none of our shows happened at night, so which was a little disappointing. But the fact that we were there, and you know, we've got that under our belts now, so
sure.
I'm sure we'll be back there next year.
Yeah,
without a doubt. Yeah.
So tell me, like. I mean, I guess it's hard to tell given that it's your first time and everyone has a different impression of something so substantial like South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Because it's their first time, right?
Yeah.
But, like, when you were down there trying to think differently from seeing it from your eyes as a newbie, like, is South by Southwest still have that shine to it? You know how sometimes festivals... And Southwest has, you know, for a long time had that great, you know, that reputation of being on the cutting edge.
Yes.
And but like every other festival who had that, you know, sometimes it just gets, oh, it's too big for itself. Oh, it's become too popular. Or there's too much stuff. Or it's, oh, it's just trying too hard now. Like, do you have a sense from being there what the crowd was like? I guess it's hard because you're in it. So everyone who's there is probably really into it.
Mm-hmm.
But like just walking around Austin, like, I don't know. Like, did you get a sense of that? is it still really running on all cylinders, or do you feel like, you know, another 5 years is going to be overrun by corporate sponsors, or it's going to be overrun by hipster wannabes, or whatever? Do you have a sense of where it is in its life cycle?
I still think we're far from that.
Yeah?
Okay. Because I came away from, you know, especially being my first time there, you know, I've heard a lot of things before I went down there. It's like going to see a big blockbuster movie, right? You hear so many people like, oh, The Descendants, or, you know what I mean? Like, Hugo, or whatever, you know. And then you go,
both
and you're
good,
like,
movies, by the way.
Very good movies, yes, indeed, I agree. And it was kind of like that, because I actually came away with a better feeling about it even than when I went, which I was already good feeling.
Okay.
And there is a lot of, there's a lot of corporatization, or whatever you want to call it, just because you have to put on something that large scale. Like, and that's just the music section. That's like 5 days of straight music.
Right.
And they have the culture section, and they have the arts and the movie. They have a film festival too.
Right. And as you know, when we were talking before we came here to record with Vanessa, she was talking about the tech thing, and I got some information too, but there's like a whole tech section too of South by Southwest, right?
It's kind of a big conglomerate in a way, but I did not get that kind of feeling where it kind of rubs you the wrong way, where it's just too corporate. It didn't, there was so much grassrootsy to it at the same time, like, at least the places we were going anyway.
Sure. Okay.
We were hitting just a lot of the bars, there was this a bigger show we went to, kind of the south side of the city, that it was like a big auditorium, and it was kind of like a big ass gymnasium. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Bleachers at the back and a lot of standing room. We saw some, you know, pretty big bands that I had never heard of, but they were pretty decent. Lot of people there, and even that seemed pretty kind of community like. Like, it didn't seem, you know, like a bunch of delegates running around. Like, it's the, you know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
Like, people, you know, there was a lot of pass holders, and there's a lot of industry people there.
Sure.
But I just ended up in a lot of places where it just didn't really weigh on my mind a lot. So I came with a really good feeling about it, and there's a lot of people there who just had a throwdown of a time. Like, really just, and I don't mean like just pass out drunk, like that kind of time. I just mean like really just letting go and carefree and free-spirited about it.
Sure.
And I'm not really that type nowadays anyway, but I tried to just let myself go, and I think I did pretty good.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, just really just, I'm down here, I'm going to enjoy myself, damn it, you know?
Right.
Overthinking it, right?
Right.
So that's how I came up with it.
Well, you know, and I guess, you know, the reverse of, you know, that question also is, and you answered it just now, is like sometimes you can go feeling great about something, and then you go and you're like, oh.
For sure. Toronto was kind of like that. The North by Northeast last year.
Well, and North by Northeast is, I mean, when I think about South by Southwest, my original question comes after thinking about North by Northeast, which has sort of, at least from what I understand, has passed its expiration date, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's hard for me to say because I was only there literally for 36 hours.
Right. Well, and Toronto.
And Toronto's Toronto. And I've, you know, nothing against Toronto, but it's actually not one of my favorite Canadian cities. There's some really good things about it, but overall, like, it didn't feel like the type of environment to really hold one of those large-scale festivals.
I think they do well for the film festival, and the film festival obviously is, like, the biggest in North America.
Yes.
But, I mean, in a city like that, definitely, like, film, it can come in different venues, but music is, I don't know the industry here in Vancouver like you do, but I don't even think Vancouver could pull off. Like, it doesn't have that kind of, well, one, the infrastructure, and two, the just the kind of vibe to
it's
have
the vibe.
It. Yeah.
And I thought about that a lot when I was there, actually, because I got there at night. It was a nice warm evening. People everywhere. Monday night. People everywhere on the street, and they're dancing. There's bands playing. Like, it's just ridiculous. And I get, the first thought was, Vancouver could never do this, especially after that riot.
Right.
Because you get people drinking and
right
whatever else, and it's just...
But I wonder, I mean, you know, the riot is actually a good point about Vancouver in that sense of whether or not you... But, you know, I was thinking... So the riot thing was one sort of comment, but what I was thinking about is when you were talking is, like, I wonder what Austin is like 3 weeks after South by Southwest, or a month before. Like, what does it look like? And I think partly it could be Austin itself is a city that just knows how to let itself loose in a respectful way and not go crazy, and it fits, South by Southwest fits so perfectly in that environment, and it right. is that because of the environment. Or the reverse is South by Southwest has created such a brand and a culture and a vibe that it forces itself on Austin, and not in a bad way, but in like you're gonna have a great time because this is South by Southwest is coming, right?
Right.
Like sort of like, you know, the Olympic Games for Vancouver, right?
Right.
Like
correct.
Like it descended, and the city was not anything at all like the city is.
Correct.
Right. So if you came to Vancouver during the Games, you probably could think, wow, South by Southwest could come here and they could have all these different things and just have a great time and just wandering around. But in the stark contrast is the day it's over, the city lifts up again and it's dead. Like, I just remember so clearly going to my Photoshop class at BCIT the day after the Olympics ended. And, you know, and I was just there the night before or whatever, right. just right. walking the streets that weekend. And it was packed with people.
Yeah.
And then Monday night, dead. Yeah. Just back to normal, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I wonder if you could sort of do, if you just knew what you wanted and mm-hmm. what kind of experience you wanted to create, and you had the money
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
corporate resources and everything, you could descend a festival like South by Southwest onto Vancouver. But then your comment about the riot is a good one, though. Like, really? I don't know if you could do that in Vancouver. Like, the political wills wouldn't allow someone to muster in like that unless they were very controlled about it, right? And then you become kind of corporate-y, and then you don't get the right vibe anyway.
And then you don't get the right vibe. Exactly, because a lot of people thought about that, about the Olympics anyway, that it was just this corporate madness, right? Like, when it really came down to it.
Right.
I don't think that's entirely true. I think, you know, there were times where, you know, I was a naysayer, and there were times where we were right in the thick of it, Elaine and I, and there was this positive excitement, you know, like it wasn't like this corporate nastiness.
Right.
But
yeah, I wasn't high-fiving Ronald McDonald or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. But it's
people,
you know, I did talk to people there who I had conversations just about that.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, it's not just like what you're describing, like during the festival, we all just get down and then it's back to, you know, briefcase Monday. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And they're like, no, year round, this is a vibrant city. It's a musical city, an art
nice,
city.
Nice.
And I was just like, so happy to hear that. Of course, it's going to be at a mellower level, probably.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, you know, I think they take something away from when they have that festival.
Yeah.
And it's something that stays with the people, I think. That mentality
yeah.
of, hey, you know, it's like we can put on something really great. We look forward to it, and you know, during the rest of the year, we're gonna, you know, keep up. It's like proxy events or something. Like, who knows? They probably have all kinds of things year round that's kind of
sure.
related to the spirit of South by, right?
Right. Well, you know, and I guess, you know, at a certain point, you could pick it apart as a, you know, university exercise and certain sociology about what, you know. Did Austin as a city create the vibe it does because of South by Southwest, or did it become because of South by Southwest, it changed Austin for the better, or, you know, like, and in the end, I mean, right now there's a symbiotic relationship going on, and who cares where it came from? Like,
yes,
you just gotta love the fact that it's there.
Go with it.
And how do you keep it going? Right. And how do you keep rejuvenating it and bringing it back year from year and just growing on it, as opposed to like sitting there going, why is this happening? Or like, yeah. Oh, whatever.
But that, you know, it makes you think too, like for here, you think, oh, you know, that riot was so harmful to this city, and the fact that we're almost like walking on eggshells now, like to be able to, as soon as someone talks about a public event, people are like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, what are the chances of people getting out of control? And that's a weird psyche to have. We have a weird psyche here, I think, now. Like, yeah. I think it was there a little bit before the riots, but I think it just confirmed. It's like, we don't know how to just, you know, lay back, you know? Like, right. We have to go. It's like, it's that riot was like a child, like, out on the town for the first time at, like, 16 and just, like,
yeah,
getting fucking, like, just, you know, drunk beyond belief or, you know, totally whacked out, and they come home and they don't know what to do with themselves. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, that's what the city was that night. And it ruined what we think are, what we think we can do now. We don't even know what we can handle now, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I totally agree, because you're like, I don't know when it happened in 94, I was like, what, really?
Yeah.
And then, you know, just stupid. And then when it happened, I have to say, people talked about it, like, there's going to be trouble or whatever. And when Vanessa and I were down there, and you were down there too, right? Yeah. Like, and we were in that area.
Yeah.
And then we left before the game started because it was just, well, when we wanted to watch the game, it was just too crowded. It just wasn't happening. But Vanessa did say it. She felt a little bit of a different vibe. But not that we'd ever been there any other day, right?
Right.
But anyways, but I think that's exactly right. Because when it happened, I saw it on TV. We're sitting there. And like, no, really? Like...
Yeah.
I mean, people, I kept thinking, come on, it can't be, like, we're not that stupid. And because of that, like, and as some people say, oh yeah, I saw it coming. And I'm like, I don't know, but I wasn't one of those people. But I'm exactly that same point, like, oh God, you know, what's going to happen? Or, you know, Symphony of Fire happened, or the fireworks happened last summer, right? And you're like, oh, it's the first event since, you know?
Totally, right?
And everyone's like worried, and now people are like, oh, now there's a plan for this year. If they can, well, one, don't jinx it by saying what's the plan. Like, we want the Canucks have to make it first and on the way that far. But yeah, just it is unsettling because you don't know. The city can handle.
Because I, you know, even because of the fact that so many people are brought to justice so late, and we're not even like. I mean, it's going to be a couple of years before some of these people are, like, sentenced to anything. That delay impacts that as well. Like, it's not going to stop some people. They're like, well, I'm not going to get busted or whatever, you know?
Well, it is funny how the time and the calendar has been unforgiving to police, because it is kind of weird, because only one person has been charged and sentenced. Who's gone through the whole process. There's other people who've been charged.
Yeah.
And there's only 5 games left before the playoffs start again.
Oh, I know. We're already back here again.
And I never even thought about that until someone heard on the news, right? And you're like, all right, that's true. Like,
one.
It's weird. But then again, I'm not a person who wants to have CCTV cameras all around the city. I don't agree with that. Like, when they had those London riots and they were, you know, convicted right away or whatever, because of they had cameras everywhere kind of thing. And
yeah.
But you know, one thing I have to say is, though, like, when those, whoever it was, those college kids or something, went ape shit on St. Patrick's Day in London, Ontario. Did you hear about that?
No. Oh my God.
They had these riots in London, Ontario, just because of St. Patrick's Day.
Really? Just because they were out of their trees? Or
yeah, basically. I mean, I read one or two news stories about it, and I was like, wow. I mean, we're in Vancouver, we riot. I mean, yes, it's a shitty reason, because the Canucks lost the Stanley Cup, but it's still a reason.
Right. You know? Right, right.
I mean, St. Patrick's Day.
It's just St. Patrick's Day. Like, when most other people just don't give a shit. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can understand how it'd be fun to, like, go out on St. Patrick's Day and just have a grand old time, but riots? Yeah, it's really weird. It just, to me, like, it just saddens me, because it shouldn't be something that happens in this country. Like, it just shouldn't be a Canadian reality. It, to me, I don't know. I just think we're better than that. And I think most people are. It doesn't take many people to riot and ruin a city for a while, like what happened to us. Like, our city was kind of ruined for a while, I think. Like, psychologically, mainly.
Yeah.
Physically a bit. But, You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, well, and I don't think, I mean, there's a lot of press about, you know, well, it's tarnishing our view of the world. Well, I think the story came and went. I think it's more hurtful for us, ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think I said at the time, like, thank God Anthony Weiner took a picture of himself and put it out on Twitter, because that was on the news the next day. No one remembered the riots after that.
What was up with that guy? Unbelievable.
So that's a nice entree into our usual topic, which is politics.
Yes.
And there's a couple of things that we could talk about. We can talk about the federal budget that just came down today.
Yes.
We can talk about the NDP convention and the leadership.
Yeah.
And or we can talk about all three or any combination. Your favorite premier, Christy Clark.
Oh, my
and
God.
And all the trouble she's in lately. So where would you like to go, Mr. I Can Run an 8K in 33 minutes?
Let's start with Mulcair.
Okay.
I have, you know, one. There's one thing that I've been saying for a little while. Like, it hasn't been a topic of discussion, like, every day or anything. But we're getting close to this in the last couple of weeks leading up to the NDP federal leadership race, right? It was clear to me, every day it was getting clearer, that the only guy who could really do this is Thomas Mulcair. And the reason why I say that is because he has by far the most personality for the job. And to be a face and a figure, a figurehead and a voice of a party, I liked a lot of the other candidates. Like, I really like Nikki Ashton. I think she's going to go really far in the future. I like some things about Nathan Collin. I like how he's against the pipeline. I didn't know a lot about Peggy Nash. To me, she just looked tired all the time. I'm sure she was fine. Brian Topp, I think, obviously, he was really important to them because he's a backroom guy. But I'm like, keep him in the back room. Seriously, he was awful at debates and even some interviews. I was like, this is not a guy who should be running a federal party and possibly be the next prime minister.
Right.
Mulcair has the balls. Yes, he has probably a temper problem that he will manage because he's going to be the leader. But he has the personality and he has the frankness and he's quick-minded and he's fabulously fluent. So he had all the things, in my opinion, to be leader, and I'm glad he won. And I think it was obvious, and I think it showed that. Your opinion? You don't agree on some of that?
No, I
think he's smart.
I don't think there isn't any other choice as well.
Yeah.
Because you know, and people do talk about sort of, well, you know, 59 seats going to the, you know, NDP in Quebec, and how do you keep that going? And I don't think any other leader has the ability to keep those seats for the NDP the next time around, except for Thomas Mulcair. So I think in a very just, you know, practical thing, I don't think there's anyone else. I think the race went the way it needed to go, because I don't think the one party one vote would have tolerated an insider like Brian Topp getting in. Not tolerate. I mean, you know, just like it lent itself to a popular. I mean, if you had a closed convention with 4,000 delegates who kind of knew the party really well, that could have done Brian Topp quite well.
Yeah,
I think Nathan Collin did exactly what he needs to do.
Yes,
finish third, come up as a shining light of a fresh, younger face. I mean,
absolutely.
I just know that when I was trying, like, I think I've said this before about when we first talked about this NDP race at all, you know, I was up, you know, up in his riding, driving in my road trip, people talked marvelously about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he showed that in this race. I mean, coming up from the Smithers area in the Bulkley Valley, no one in Ottawa barely even, if you said the Bulkley Valley, where the hell is that, right? Like, so he has set himself up really well for one, just added prominence. I know, like, when when Thomas Mulcair gets around to sort of rejigging his shadow cabinet,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll have a prominent post.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
And that will serve him well around his succession plan for the next time. You know, I think they were saying like, you know, Ed Broadbent, you know, lost the first time and then he won the second time. And look what happened, you know, how he has risen to prominence within the party, within Canadian politics. So I think, you know, it all turned out the way it needed to happen.
Yeah.
But I think the criticism and the very entertaining part of the whole process was watching that convention unfold. And mm-hmm. one, just the slowness of the balloting,
mm-hmm.
and the hand up being hacked around, you know, or whatever. Yeah,
massively.
And I didn't see all of them, but, you know, some of the speeches, right?
Yeah.
I only saw, like, some of the news reports on them and how, you know, I think Nathan Cullen came up first and he was low tech and just stood there and chatted. And yeah, and I thought it was
people love that.
You know, it reminded me of when I saw Bob Rae do his thing. When he was running for the Liberal leadership, the one that Stefan Dion won,
right?
I thought that they should have, you know, got Bob Rae as the leader of the Liberal Party then. That would have been much smarter than him doing it now. But anyways,
a little too late, I think.
But and so, you know, I thought that was a nice thing. And then from what I hear, like, the other ones were train wrecks, and apparently Brian Topp couldn't do anything but read, stare at his teleprompter.
Yeah.
And
he's not that the guy that he's trying to go be. He's not that guy,
right?
He just isn't, you know.
Well, and then Peggy Nash ended up getting cut off like an Oscar speech.
Yes.
And Thomas Mulcair ended up like speed reading his speech because he had taken up so much time just getting up onto the stage.
Yeah.
And something about Paul Doerr had some other MP rap.
Yeah, he did.
And so the combination of all of that just made you feel like you were in some sort of, you know, state county election, kind of not like a leadership race for a national party in the official opposition role. Like,
mm-hmm.
like something about, like, I don't know, like all of the people who planned all of those should have come into a room and sort of say, this is what we're planning. And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to get this MP. He's going to knock down this house by rapping. Like, he will just kick it. And then some organizer, some event planner should be there going, no, you're not.
Like, right.
Sorry, you're not doing that. Or, you know, Thomas Mulcair's planners are like, we're going to have these big drums come out and it's going to be awesome. No, that's going to take you 15 minutes just to get onto that stage and you're going to have 5 minutes to speed read your speech. It's not going to happen. Like, someone with some image consultant or something should have just said, let's plan, this is our chance to really make an impression, because, you know, the race was running a long time. It's not like the American primaries where you have these little races and people can just drop off the ballot. Like,
right.
Like, everyone gets a chance. It happens here.
That's right.
Like,
come on, people.
Come on. I'm sure that guy's a really great rapper. And whatever, but like, just someone really needed to just
rein that in.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, I saw Nikki Ashton's and she was great because she does the same. She doesn't need.
Yeah.
She's a great speaker.
I wonder if they're still online. I wouldn't mind seeing hers because you were tweeting me. You were texting me.
Yeah.
That you were watching Nikki Ashton. You said, I think you had watched it. You said you were impressed.
Yeah.
And I was at dim sum at the time, so I couldn't watch anything. But I really, I want to catch that, because it's funny, because I guess she got off the first ballot, but she just didn't get the votes.
Yeah.
And so all the news stories about the speeches that the night before before the whole convention, no one ever, like, as if she never wasn't even there. Like, no one even talked. People kind of talked about Nathan Cullen's speech, but then they kind of glossed over everyone else, and then they kind of went to the last three, Peggy Nash and that sort of stuff. So, like, if I didn't know better, like, I wouldn't even know she had even spoken, right? So,
yeah, I think she went first too.
Oh, did she?
Okay. Yeah. So it was just kind of like, you know, put her at the beginning, see what she can do, and then. But no, it was an interesting couple of days, the convention, and, you know, I thought, I've never been really an NDPer. Like, of course, there's a lot of policies that I've liked. And I'm, but I'm, you know, I don't know what's going to happen by 2015, because I think it's just a little early to say.
Sure.
But Mulcair, to me, was inspiring enough to want to get behind, should they be continue to be very popular at that time. Because we don't know what's going to happen to the Liberals. We don't know if it's going to be Bob Rae or what's going to come out of that. And I, you know, there's a lot of qualities I didn't notice about Bob Rae before that I've noticed in the last year, whatever, since, you know, Ignatieff's been done. And since they just lost so badly. It like, it's just his public speaking skills. You know, he's very quick-minded as well. And, you know, Liberals are more in the center, so to speak, which is sort of, I think, closer to where I kind of think. But you know, it'll just be kind of interesting to see where the balance shifts, you know?
Right.
I think it's possible to knock out the Conservatives, whether it's NDP or not, or even if it's a minority NDP.
Right.
Anything. I still think it's possible, because I think it will be a lot of years of Harper by that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, I mean, he's got his majority, he's got a 5-year mandate, but he's been prime minister for 5 years already, right?
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it is, at the next election, it will be a sort of a 10-year period. But for some reason, I think people just look at it differently because he's been minority. Now he's finally prime minister. Like, if I had to really prognosticate, and maybe it's good that we're recording this and can be on, and of course we're going to be doing this 5 years from now. If I just had to just know what I know about Canadian politics and its history and what I've known for the 35 years that I've been alive, I bet Harper will win a majority next time.
Really?
It's going to be a less majority, but it will be a majority. And then they'll get the boot.
Ah, okay. You know? I see what you're
because
saying.
Because people are for some of you, got a restart button. Oh, you have your majority. Like, it could be Harper's first year now. Mm. And I think about, I mean, who knows what the budgets are going to be like mm-hmm. the next little while, but the budget today was not harsh. Wasn't, you know, I mean, they cut, but they didn't cut crazy. It wasn't an austerity budget. And
so it was pretty strategic, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, and big changes aren't going to come until like 2023 for OSA or OAS kind of thing. You're like,
mm-hmm. No one can really think that far ahead and,
yeah,
and be so, affected by it now. So I get emotional about it.
Right. And there's no, I mean, people who would protest are who really be affected are, they're not going to, the change won't affect them because they're already going to be at that age. And then if you're going to be affected by it, you're like 30 something now or 40 something and you're not really thinking about it. Right. So, you know, I just don't think, and you're not just massive cuts to like every sector, right. It's just, you know, strategic small cuts and, you know, public service is going to get their pensions reduced. Oh, but don't forget, so are MPs. You know, so you throw them into the mix too, because everyone hates when MPs get a pension, right?
Yeah. Or, you know, like, and a big one.
And a big one, right? And so I mean, if the budgets keep on like that, I can't, unless if they don't make any big missteps,
yeah,
they'll get another majority. And then you got to worry after that, right? Because I think if Thomas Mulcair can stick around, mm-hmm. Like he's got that air of a, I'm not to say that I'm not comparing him to Trudeau in any way, but that just ease of bilingualism, yeah, and the confidence he has in his voice,
yeah,
is a Trudeau-esque characteristic in his delivery.
Okay.
So I could see him coming and being prime minister, not 2015 or whatever it is for the election, but
2019. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how long he'll last because I don't really know how old he is, you know, in that sort of sense. And hell, is Bob Rae's not gonna last that long, right? But I do like Bob Rae's way. Not politics at all in terms of, and his record and how he governed in Ontario. I don't really know that all that well because I don't live in Ontario and wasn't living in Ontario at the time. But just as a political figure, with some sort of, and when you're thinking about a prime minister, you have to have some of that presence, right? And if you just looked at individual people, Harper, Mulcair, Rae, like Harper would be third on that list of who would you think is prime ministerial, You know what I mean? And if none of them were prime minister, to choose between them. Harper's a bit different now that he's been prime minister for 5 years. People can see it now.
Yeah.
But right. I just remember when he was opposition, like, there's no way there would ever be a prime minister Stephen Harper. It can't be. Like, he's got these weird pinkish lips. And yeah. He's kind of pasty. And yeah.
Doughy.
Doughy. And he's totally kind of, like, wooden.
He's like, wooden and exactly. He's stiff. Yeah.
But I guess that's the same case that Kim Campbell made about John Kritchen with that ad back in the 90s. And he lasted 3 majority governments, so. Crazy.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it will be interesting to tell. I mean, anything can happen in the next few years.
Yep.
As anything can happen in the next year of BC provincial politics. oh, Christy. Sounds like she's not doing any listening. And
I thought you said she was running, a great listener now.
Running wild with it. You know, here's what I think. I don't even know how to explain this. I think that there's too many things in a row that's happening right now. And the impression is that her government is not listening to anybody. It's doing what it wants to do. It's not, whether you agree with the teachers or not, they're not listening to the teachers. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. I think, I don't think the teachers' union is as innocent as they claim in some respects, but that's a whole other discussion. The community living BC was a problem. The court system is a problem.
Yes.
They don't want to, they want to investigate, but they don't, they're just relying on statistics saying that crime is down, so why do we need to throw more money at the problem? You know what I mean? Like, this MLA from Abbotsford across the floor.
Yes.
You know, the list is kind of going on and on right now, and that's just outlining the press problems. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're problems, but they're problems in the press right now.
Well, see, other than the crossing the floor piece, a lot of those are governing problems. Like, you know,
yeah.
Labor relations with one of your big bargaining groups is an issue. You know, there's a lot of issues generally that are, you know, not political, but are, you know, policy and governance kind of things. And I just don't see, I don't see anything of substance coming from the government, the provincial government. I mean, they put out a budget, whatever. They put out a budget already, right? Didn't they? Like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't see Kevin Falcon buying new shoes. I don't remember.
Oh yeah, and that's the other thing. Sorry, keep going.
Well, you know, and so, but I think what to me is the more interesting thing is just how. There's not the image problem. Is this, there's not that solidarity.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, when you see Christy Clark, she's standing there alone at a podium. Like she was yesterday, answering questions for the first time ever.
Yeah.
That, you know, they got a lot of flack for that press secretary woman who is just trying to, who is Harper's press secretary or communications director.
Oh, is that right?
And yeah, and Christy Clark just hired her, and she was like totally like, not letting the media ask questions. They're just sort of, you know, Sean, please ask your question. Like, just going from a list as opposed to letting the media just go at her kind of thing. Like,
it's wrong.
Which is really stupid. And so the media was totally backlashing on that. And, you know, like, even today, she was on the news, she was in a press conference. Just, like, you never see her surrounded by her ministers or surrounded by her team or her fellow MLAs, right?
Sure.
And, you know, to me, the big story today is, I think the most telling one is, and the last 2 days, is a lot of MLAs are not really kind of saying whether or not they're going to run for the election.
And big name MLAs.
Yeah, even Falcon.
Even like, Falcon himself.
Yeah, like, are you Falcon kidding me? Like,
you're
not going to run?
Are you Falcon kidding me? I know. What's up with that?
So, you know.
He's going to join the BC Conservatives. He is a BC Conservative, essentially.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of, like, I wonder, that it's more of an internal problem than anything else.
Sure.
You know? And just people just don't like her. Or people don't like the way she's governing. Or it was so rotten to the core in terms of how that team dynamic was. Yeah. With Gordon Campbell leaving in the way he did. And just being so unpopular that it just... It's too much to recover from. Like, like sometimes maybe something needs to implode for it to grow again, right? Who knows?
I think it's too bad. Because I really thought that she was really the one to turn it around. Like, I thought she was the sharpest tool in the shed, so to speak, of all those. I really do. I mean, I still think that. I just think she's showing her... She just... A lot of people are thinking she's just not cut out for this job, like, of running the province, you know? She seems to kind of go with, like, gut decisions and just, like, without even... It appears, like, without even any consultation, even from her own team members, right?
Right.
But what's the province want to do? In a year, they will probably elect a guy who doesn't want to pay transit fares and who wants to backdate memos. That's the alternative, people. That's what you want to do, isn't it? Right? So that's what we're going to have as a premier instead. A total Marxist, like... No, I'm kidding. Whoa. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. No, like, the guy, I think he means well, and I think he's probably a good person, like a good-hearted person. But he backdated a memo. He went into his secretary's drawer, took the stamp, changed the date by a couple of months, and stamped a fake document.
Well...
Like, that was premeditated move. That wasn't a, oops, I put not on approved.
I was going to just make that juxtaposition. I mean, Bev Oda, I mean, not in line to be prime minister by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, a high-ranking minister can write not on a memo, deny it, then admit it, and then still after all of that and so fresh to an election, get reelected in her riding with the majority. Not just first past the post, I win, but only took 32% of the vote. She got like 58% of the vote on her riding. I don't know what the people in that riding are smoking or what their level of accountability on their elected representatives. Yeah. Like, it just, if that can happen there... A backdated memo can ride someone all the way to the premiership. It's all possible.
Crazy. Stapling $10 bills to membership forms that arrived late after the cutoff. Thousands of members, by the way. That's who we want to elect, isn't it? That. It's mind-boggling. However... A lot of people think that there's unanswered stuff with BC Rail, which there probably is. And that, yes, that $6 million should not have come from taxpayer money to cover those assholes' bills. Like, I agree with that.
What was funny was when they, it's just weird, like, when John Van Dongen his name, you know, he crossed the floor to the BC Conservatives. And out comes Rich Coleman, and he says things like, he's had real struggles ever since, you know, I've spent so many hours, not with my families, talking to him, and I'm like, what are you trying to infer here? Like, in the next day, you know, the premier had to just basically apologize for the guy. He was like, okay, you know, like, it's not about mudslinging, it's like, I don't know, apologizing to me, basically infer that the guy's mentally unstable or whatever, sure. Or he's got mental illness issues, right, or whatever. Yeah.
What?
And even if you had mental illness issues, I mean, that's nothing to be making fun of someone about. Like, those are serious problems if that's the case, right? Like,
and why is he airing this laundry?
And why is he even saying it, right? Well, I mean, I have very different opinions about that particular gentleman anyways.
Yeah, I hear.
I just remember I watched him on the news this today, and they showed him for a clip for like 10 seconds, and he literally was panting. Like,
he's always panting.
I'm like, did you just do like 2 sit-ups or something?
I know.
I didn't get it. It was weird. It was like, why would you even allow yourself to be filmed answering a question if you can't catch your breath? Like, I'm concerned about the guy's just health. But anyways.
Yeah, it wasn't the classiest of remarks.
But I it just showed like a real just something that you're trying very hard to cover it up in the public eye, but there's something deeply wrong going on there. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I have no idea what that is, but there's something in that party that is just not right.
I read that it was hardly reported on, but I read that some reporters said that Clark did a speech to her caucus or something, or like she was doing a talk or something, and one of her own MLAs walked out. On it.
Yeah, I forget what that was. I read that too. I forget what it was about though.
I can't remember where I and I was like, wow, like it's gonna get to the point where they're not just gonna be able to hide any of this anymore. Like that guy crossing the floor and doing it, like, see, it was kind of weird the way he did it. He did it in the legislature.
That's right, yeah.
In front of the opposition.
Yeah.
When Clark wasn't there. And he's basically knocking her leadership skills. I don't know if that's really the right way to go.
He said he's hired a lawyer or an investigator to look at BC Rail. I'm like...
Oh, yeah. His own money.
Yeah.
Well, hey, sure, fine, right? But he should have... If you don't agree with the policies, I think... First of all, you run a by-election. Second of all, you need to let your party know internally. I think it was a little bit self-serving to do it the way he did it. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm, I do.
You know how it's going to be reported on.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's the whole point. That's why you do it that way, right? Because you want it to, you want to get sort of the high impact. Right,
I guess, but I mean, well, he succeeded.
I mean, that's all it is. It's politics. It's not government. It's politics. That's all political theater, right? Totally. You know, and we talked about this on the phone about whether or not there should be a by-election or something.
Right.
And yeah, I just think someone's got to put in legislation and just make it clear.
Like, absolutely.
Like, because right now it's a very political decision, right?
Yeah.
And you leave it up to the person to decide whether or not he's gonna resign and call or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like. I think you should just take it out of the political arena and just say, if you cross the floor, you gotta have a by-election, regardless of timing or whatever. I think politically it doesn't make sense for anyone, because one, it's so close to an election anyways. Two, he didn't go from left to right to left or left to right. He went from right to more right, you know? So I don't think there's as much of a outrage, I think. And he went from government to outside government, so... There isn't a whole David Emerson factor going on here.
Right.
But, you know, but that's all, again, political context. Mm-hmm. I think it should be almost, all that should be irrelevant. And it should just be, okay, you've decided to leave your party because and you're changing something fundamental about why people elected you.
Right.
Then you should go back to the electorate. Like,
well, yeah, because he was talking about helping his constituents anyway, being their first constituents. Constituents. Well, if they're that important to you and you're that important to them, then what would they just not follow you to the other party? I mean, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of cheating in a way, personally.
Right. Well, and the assumption might be, though, yes, they should follow you, so why have a by-election? Because you know they'll follow you. So the by-election would confirm that, right?
Right.
Or totally, you know, prove that wrong.
And so. That's the other thing. Christy Clark waited so long, almost to the deadline, to be able to call those couple of by-elections.
Oh, yes, right.
See, that's another thing. Like, she had every legal right to do that, but that doesn't mean it's the smartest way to go about it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
She just seems a little bit like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I think is the right thing to do, but you just can't look like a lone kind of decision maker that way, you know, like forget everybody else kind of thing. Like, that's kind of how it's looking right now, and it's kind of sucks because I thought she was a little bit more of a team player that way, but it sounds like she's really just like, everybody else be damned. Like, it seems, I don't know. Anyway. So yeah, well, we ran through a lot of that. Holy shit.
Yeah, so we're at 1:04. We should probably wrap this up.
Yes.
That's what happens when you take so long. We just sort of
I know.
We have so much to bring out on the table. I mean, there's so many other things, like the shooting in Toulouse, France, and I mean, there's so
right.
Like,
no Syria. More Penny.
No more Penny.
God, we could have. Yeah, there's
American lots. Politics.
I know. We didn't even get to like. Well, Rick Santorum and all the shit he says, or Mitt Romney and his car elevators, and
you know, I'll just complain about one thing.
Okay,
sorry, Gingrich.
Yes,
he had the nerve to call out Obama for saying that the kid who died in Florida, who was shot and killed in Florida,
yep.
would have looked like his son if he had a son. He actually said, "Well, something like, well." What if he was a white guy? You know what I mean? Like, he actually turned it into a race thing? Like, as if it wouldn't have mattered as much as if it was a white kid? Like, right. He actually insinuated that? And everyone's like, all the Democrats were like, well, he's obviously in his last throes as a politician, like, in his political career. Like, it's so desperate. He's just trying to say anything to get his name in. So bloody racist. All these people are so bloody racist.
Yeah, well, you know, we could...
Like when Santorum was in this town in Pennsylvania or some state or whatever, and he's, like, talking about how the black people are below the poverty level, and it's, like, actually, it's they're not all black people. It's actually mostly white people or whoever. Like, he's just assuming that it's the black people who are doing worse. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... They're so bloody racist. So that's my big complaint. Oh my god.
Gosh.
So, as Justin's fiercely scribbling the last couple of notes, you can find us on iTunes, or you can go to thedotmatrix.com. And yes. We'll be posting this hopefully within the next week or so.
Yeah, we'll get there, and yep. We'll get to 50.
We will. And I was thinking about it, this December is our 5 year.
Seriously,
5 year.
Wow.
So we got to do something interesting for that, like even more interesting than we already are.
Right. Of course. We'll record that one 5 year anniversary in the nude or something.
For all of you 5 listeners out there.
You can just visualize it.
Alrighty.
Well, wow, thanks. That's a weird way to end it. Okay. And that she did. Anyways.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. We're going to end this now.
Yep.
An hour and 7.
Perfect. Okay. Till next time.
Bye-bye.